So good morning. Happy Father's Day to everyone. I'm going to be talking about the love of our Heavenly Father and characteristics of a good earthly father based on Scripture. Please turn to Luke 15. We're going to start reading in verse 11. Luke 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father. I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants, and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. And therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answered, said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Will you join me in prayer? On this day, when we remember what it means to have a father or be a father, we recognize the importance of fathers in our community. For some of us, we look to our Heavenly Father to fill the space our fathers left behind. Thank you, Lord, for this time we have to study your word and to share this morning together in fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so since today is Father's Day, I felt that you needed to suffer through some dad jokes. So a dad joke is a joke that only dads think are funny. Young children, like I was hoping Zachary would be here, because Zachary would laugh at them. And teenagers, they just roll their eyes. But when does a joke become a dad joke? When it becomes apparent. How many tickles does it take to make an octopus laugh? 10 tickles. How does a penguin? Some of you guys are slow. How does a penguin build his house? It glues it together. Why don't crabs give to charity? Because they're selfish. What do you call a lazy kangaroo? Pouch potato. I remember as a kid, my dad got fired from his job as a road worker for theft. I refused to believe he could do such a thing, but when I got home, the signs were all there. We all know about Murphy's Law. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. But have you heard of Cole's Law? It's thinly sliced cabbage. If you don't groan, it's not a dad's joke. Two goldfish are in a tank. One says to the other, Do you know how to drive this thing? I was going to tell a time traveling joke, but you guys didn't get it. My boss is going to fire the employee with the worst posture. I have a hunch. It might be me. If you tell dad jokes but you don't have kids, that would make you a faux pas. So I think we can learn about how to be a successful parent from God's Word. While we honor Father's Day, there are lessons for anyone that is able to step into that role. It could be a grandparent, an uncle, a family friend, or a mentor. We want to reflect the unconditional love of our Heavenly Father to the children in our lives. We start off reading an account from the Gospel of Luke about the prodigal son. I feel this is one of the more memorable parables that Jesus shared with us. The definition of prodigal in Webster's dictionary defines it as characterized by profuse or wasteful expenditure. I would say it also connotes being away and returning based on the biblical parable. It's only found in Luke. It's the third parable listed in this chapter. If you are still on Luke 15 and you turn to verse 1, you'll see that the situation is the Pharisees and scribes are criticizing Jesus for hanging out with sinners. Then drew unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Jesus, by means of illustration of the prodigal son and the other parables in this verse, shows how important the least of those in society are to God. Not only what society reveres relative to Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees, but the fact that God looks at all of his children. You can see the happiness of the father when the son returns. Let's go to verse 20. And he rose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. So the father not only accepts his son back into the family, he treats him like royalty with the best robe and a ring and gives him shoes. You wonder if the younger son had squandered so much he arrived home without even shoes. The Gospel of Luke is in the prophecy program. It is not the mystery or grace program as outlined in Paul's epistles. However, to me, there is an element of grace and forgiveness in this parable. We see an apostate son accepted without conditions, without works. His father does not make him earn his way back into his good graces. The joy in finding a son that was lost is enough for him. I see three levels of relationships in this parable. In addition to being a story of a father's love for his destitute son, the parable shows how God loves his children. The reckless son was foolish in spending his life's inheritance. An earthly father might tear his clothes and say, you're no longer a son of mine. But God is no average earthly father. His love for his children is much deeper. And I think that's an important point to take from this parable. Number two, it describes the relationship between God's chosen people, Israel, and the Lord. The son represents the nation of Israel worshiping false gods and departing from the one true God. Throughout the kingdom program, you see God's chosen people doing what they want and not following the laws and commandments that have been given to them. Please turn to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31. And we're going to start in verse 16. All right, Deuteronomy 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up, and go whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. This is exactly what the prodigal son did. And then now we're going to go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Starting in verse 29. Psalm 78, 29, and we're going to read to 32. So they did eat and were well filled, for it gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust. But while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them, and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still, and believed not for his wondrous works. Under the kingdom program, there are conditions. Repentance is one of the central messages of the prophecy program. Please turn to Matthew 3. We're going to start reading in verse 1. Matthew 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Well, the father is not giving conditions to his lost son. Notice the son has repented. We're going to turn back to Luke 15. Verses 18 and 19. "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants." On the third level, this parable is a story showing the relationship between a son and a father. I think we can find some value in how this unfolds as it relates to our own earthly fathers. The relationship between a son or a daughter and their father is very important. Not having a relationship with an earthly father is even more significant. Statistics show that young men that grow up without a father in their lives have very long odds stacked up against them. This one factor is a better indicator of success in their lives than any other factor. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services reported that female-led homes with no spouse present had an alarming poverty rate of 47.6% in 2011, more than four times the rate for kids living in families with two parents. The majority of inmates come from fatherless homes. Some studies suggest that as much as 70% of inmates did not have a father in the home growing up. Girls that do not have a positive father figure are much more likely to experience pregnancy outside of marriage. Our experiences with our earthly fathers can affect our relationship with God. A study by the Swiss government published in the year 2000 showed some significant facts about the generational transmission of faith from fathers to their children. If a father does not go to church, no matter how faithful his wife's devotions, only one child in 50 will become a regular worshiper. If a father does go regularly, regardless of the practice of the mother, between two-thirds and three-quarters of their children will become churchgoers, either regular or irregular churchgoers. One of the reasons suggested for this distinction is that children tend to take their cues about domestic life from mom, while their conceptions of the world outside come from dad. If dad takes faith in God seriously, then the message to their children is that God should be taken seriously. In addition to their devotion and attendance, the traits of fathers also affect the children's view of their heavenly father. Those fathers that modeled positive traits were more likely to have offspring that had a positive view of God. Negative fathers contributed to the children not being interested in God's word. Fathers that treated children harshly pushed their children away from church into other worldly pursuits. People have difficulty seeing their heavenly father as benevolent and loving when their earthly father is not. If you have the opportunity to help parent a child, you can use the Word of God to give you some insight. I have 3 points I would like to make. The first one is to accept rather than reject your children. Our Heavenly Father accepts us. Ephesians 1, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Romans 8, verses 1 and 2, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Avoid frustrating your children. Colossians 3, verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Gently guide your children. Ephesians 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Admonition means a gentle reproof, caution, or direction. The Webster 1828 version, which can be found on the website hopewindsofyourjoy.com. I thought that was interesting. You can look up terms then and get a historic definition of the word as opposed to a modern version of definition of the word. Fathers can look to Scripture in Philippians 2 to see a bit of the relationship between our Heavenly Father and His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Philippians 2.
Number one, accept instead of reject. What was the Ephesian reference?
Pardon?
on number one, which was accept instead of reject. What's the Ephesians reference? He gave Romans 8, 1, 2.
Ephesians 1, 6.
Thank you.
All right, let's see here. Philippians, we're turning to Philippians, right?
Yep, Philippians 2.
Philippians 2. All right, we're going to read verses 1 through 11, Philippians 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but of every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven and things of earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Notice how humility is described in these passages. Jesus was a servant to the Father, even though he was equal to the Father. Sacrificing his life on the cross, he was exalted by the Father and given a name that is above all names. Neither the Father nor the Son was competing for glory, but glorifying the other. I think that's something that we can use as in our relationship with our children. Children should be able to approach us. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So I'm thinking of the scene in It's a Wonderful Life, where young George needs to talk to his father. And his dad is in this important meeting. They say, "You'll have to wait, son." He goes right into the meeting because he knows he can approach his father. And before that, he had something he wanted to talk to his dad about. And on the wall it said, "Ask Dad, he knows." So the other workers would have waited to talk to the dad. But he goes right in and knows that his father will be willing to see him, even if he's in the middle of a big meeting. Let's look at the father of the prodigal son. So in Luke 15:20, it says, "And he arose and came to a father, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him in compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Notice what the father doesn't do. He doesn't lay into his son describing all the things he had done wrong. His son already knows that. What he needs now is to reconnect with the relationship he has with his father. His father does a wonderful job welcoming back his son that had been lost. You never want to be separated from loving your children. Romans 8, verses 38-39. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." My second point is to give freely with no strings attached. Matthew 7, verses 9-11. "But what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" A good father will provide for his children. How much more does our Father in heaven give us? He gave us his only son. Romans 8:32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered us for us all, up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give all things?" Ephesians 3, verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." These are abundant spiritual blessings we receive in our inner man today from God. Ephesians 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Romans 8:15-16, "For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." The term Abba, Father is considered to be a warm term of endearment towards our Heavenly Father. Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit, with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance and the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. We are assured to get our eternal inheritance because we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. My third point is to instruct children from God's word and point to the Heavenly Father. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when they risest up. As a father, you want to show your children how important God's word is to you, and hopefully will be to them. Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Children can stray, especially during their teenage years into their early adulthood, but when they finally mature, they can fall back on the biblical foundation they have been taught. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Show children how appreciative you are for your life and how appreciative you are for your position in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 11 and 12, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. While the Apostle Paul was not a biological father, he encouraged the body of Christ, and he spoke very fondly of Timothy as a father would to a son. Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit, not by your own strength. The word of God is called the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians 6, verse 17, they take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. 3 John 1, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. What a reward it is to have children walking in the truth, believing God's word. Romans 8, verse 14 to 16, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. I think I already read that one.
Yeah.
I already read that one. Yeah. This verse exhorts us to walk in the Spirit, and that no matter our earthly situation, confirms to us that we are the sons and daughters of God. Matthew 23:9, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. If we don't have an earthly father that we can look up to, or have an earthly father at all, we can look to our Father in heaven and look to God's word for guidance. Galatians 3:20, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. For there is one God, 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So we have access to our Lord and our Savior, even if our own father isn't there for us. Your children can go directly to their Heavenly Father. They don't need to go through an intermediary on earth like a priest or someone like that. Children that do not have a positive father figure in their life can turn to the Word of God for guidance. In summary, God has given us as fathers the incredible privilege and awesome responsibility to be a reflection of our Heavenly Father. Let us accept our children unconditionally, give gifts to them freely, instruct them in the Word of God, and point them to our Heavenly Father. Even without an earthly father in your life, you can still follow God's word and rise above your situation. A friend of mine celebrated his 20th wedding anniversary this week. He is a successful real estate investor in Atlanta with four beautiful children. He posted the following on his anniversary, which I did not know. My father was murdered when I was very young. My wife never met her father. My mother struggled with drugs and alcohol until she died. Her mother struggled with drugs and alcohol. How can two dysfunctional people make a marriage work for almost 20 years? The answer is Jesus.
Amen.
Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for being our Heavenly Father, even when our earthly father may be absent. You love us unconditionally and give us grace that keeps our relationship with you intact. Thank you for this time studying your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.